The views and opinions expressed during the drive time are those of Dave Glover and his guests and are not those of Northumberland 89.7. Agree, disagree, or have a comment? Call the station and speak with Dave live on the air. Call 905-372-2321. That's 905-372-2321. Now your host, Dave Glover.
Thank you very much, and welcome back to The Drive Time. I'm your host, Dave Glover. This is Canada's only holistic political chat. Joining me in the studio are Megan McDonald from Habitat for Humanity. She's the executive director of Habitat for Humanity, celebrating 6 years as the ED. And Rob Washburn, of course, it's Wednesday. It's when we ask you, the listeners, to consider this. Before we get to our conversation, Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young talking about Our House on Truly Local Radio.
Light the fire, you place the flowers in the vase that you bought today. Staring at the fire for hours and hours while I listen to you play your love songs.
Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young on Truly Local Radio, Northumberland 89.7, with Our House on Truly Local Radio, Northumberland 89.7. And joining me in the studio with Rob Washburn is Megan McDonald, the Executive Director of Habitat for Humanity. And that's kind of what you guys are all about, isn't it? Our House.
It is.
Now, this year, this week, by the way, I just got the tweet yesterday, but Jimmy Carter, the former president of the United States, 92 years old, still out there with his beautiful wife, Rosalind, swinging hammers, and they are in Edmonton and Winnipeg this year. Is that what we're hearing?
Yeah, it's the 34th annual Jimmy and Rosalind Carter Work Project, and this year they decided to do it in Canada. Mm-hmm. And so across Canada, we have over 50 communities building 150 homes for Canada's 150 right. as part of the Jimmy and Rosalind Carter Work Project. And we actually have four houses that we're putting towards that.
Is he coming to town?
Oh, I wish.
Any idea? Can you get Jimmy to come to town? I just want to get him in the studio, Rob. Sorry. I would still
you know
for Jimmy Carter.
I proposed it. I said, is he not going to come to Port Hope where we're building? But unfortunately, they picked Edmonton and Winnipeg.
So how did you come about to this decision to build four houses in conjunction with this? Because I think this is a first for you guys to do this kind of thing.
Yeah, it's the first time actually that we've had this kind of project across Canada. The Carter Work Project has actually come to Canada before. It was in mm-hmm. Winnipeg before. Mm-hmm. And then when they did it in Detroit, there was a big component in Windsor. So there's been a Canadian element of it, mm-hmm. but we've never had the opportunity for affiliates outside of the one where the actual project is to participate. So when they launched this one, they said, get involved.
So explain to us then, what is the Jimmy Rosalind Carter Work Project? What does that consist of and how is it unique?
So it's, I'll be honest, I don't know a lot about it. It's Habitat's biggest event in the calendar. And I know they've been doing it for 34 years. I had the opportunity to participate in it in Haiti a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. And it's incredible. It's sort of like the Super Bowl for Habitat. It's the idea of building a whole bunch of houses and bringing a whole bunch of people together with families in 1 week and seeing what we can do. And it's really cool to see so much happening across the country this week.
How is it different from other builds that you do, that we see you do on a regular basis?
It's more the idea that we're part of a pan-Canadian mm-hmm. one habitat. I think that's the difference for us, because we always plug away, like we've been plugging away at what mm-hmm. we do, we work hard, but to know that four of our homes are part of a bigger 150 homes that we all committed to doing mm-hmm. because we had this incredible power duo coming to our country. I think that's sort of what got people excited and moving.
Now, do you have to finish the home in a particular amount of time? Is there a time limit, or is it just the idea of a unification of everyone doing the same thing at the same time?
It's the idea of the unification. So in Edmonton and Winnipeg, they do have, like, they have to finish the home this week. Mm-hmm. We don't have that same time restriction, which I generally appreciate, especially with the weather we've had this spring.
Right. No kidding.
For example, when we built in Haiti, we did 100 homes in 5 days.
That's quite a crew. I mean, and now, were those primarily people from Haiti that were helping in the build?
No, most of the time it's people, especially when the Carter Work Project goes outside of North America, a lot of North Americans travel with it and build with it.
Now, one of the things that, for people who don't know what Habitat for Humanity does, maybe you could explain the principles and what it is that exactly you do and how you do it, just the fundamentals, so that if anybody doesn't know how this happens, could you explain it for us?
Oh, for sure. And especially because we always say, what's our biggest myths, right? Mm-hmm. Well, the number one myth that we have is that we give houses away, which we don't. Habitat is all about helping families achieve the dream of home ownership, but we don't give them away. Mm-hmm. Families pay fair market value for their houses, and I'll talk about that in a second.
Okay.
But ironically, this week, the second biggest myth that we have is that we were founded by Jimmy Carter, which is actually not true. He's obviously our biggest supporter. Mm-hmm. But Habitat's whole vision is a world where everyone has a decent place to live. Mm-hmm. And what we do is we partner with families in our community, mm-hmm. and I use the term, and Dave knows this, I've said this before, I use the term families very loosely. It can be one person, it can be multi-generational family, it's not a one set type of family, but we partner with them to help them build strength, stability, and self-reliance through affordable home ownership.
I was just going to ask, is it possible if you could just explain how that takes place? But maybe I think we're going to take a break first.
We are going to take a break. But before we get to that break, we have a special message from Jimmy Carter. This is Jimmy and Rosalind Carter talking about the Work Project, listeners.
Rose and I are proud supporters of Habitat for Humanity, and we are pleased to announce our return to Canada in July 2017 for our 34th Jimmy and Rosalind Carter Work Project. We selected Canada for two reasons. First, while Canada is well known for its high standard of living, housing affordability is at an all-time low. There are 1.6 million Canadians, including many Indigenous families, who are in need of a safe, decent, affordable place to call home. And second, because 2017 marks the 150th birthday of our northern neighbor. We hope you will join us as we work in partnership with 150 families across the country to build affordable homes in his celebration of this historic milestone. We're pleased to be bringing together volunteers from across the globe to build alongside local volunteers and homeowner families. All across Canada, Habitat volunteers will be helping families demonstrate the strength, stability, and independence that they need to create a better life for themselves. While the project will involve many Canadian communities, Rose and I will be focusing our efforts in Edmonton, Alberta, ending in Winnipeg, Manitoba. It seems fitting to end our journey in Winnipeg, one of the cities in Canada, where we were built in 1993. Of course, none of this is possible without your support. We thank the incredible sponsors and individuals who already have pledged their commitment to this important Habitat event. We hope you will join them in supporting our efforts to bring affordable housing to families across Canada.
And as former President Carter said, everyone in Canada has a right to a safe place, affordable and a decent place to live, and yet so many families do not have that. By supporting the Carter Work Project, Canadians can help build a more caring nation through volunteering, while neighbors help neighbors build homes that provide a safe and affordable foundation for a better life. We'll be right back, listeners.
Did you ever expect a radio show to be this great?
No, I just tuned in. I hadn't been really enjoying radio. At first I thought, I'm not going to like it. But here I am every day, listening, singing. I'm so happy to have found this show.
Listen to The Morning Show with Jim Glover, Monday to Friday, 7 till 10. News, weather, and sports on the hour, plus great features. Cameco, Northumberland, Big Beat, The Chicken Man, Lost Rock and Roll Classics, and many other surprises, all right here on Northumberland 89.7, truly local radio. Long & McQuaid Musical Instruments are Canada's music experts. Ask our knowledgeable staff about Long & McQuaid's large selection of instruments and accessories. Purchase, rent, or rent to own, all at unbeatable rates. And don't forget to check out the Music Lesson Center, featuring qualified teachers and private instructions for all ages, levels, and styles. Go to long-mcquaid.com to find out more.
Complete your dream home the ViewTech way.
These are the plans for my dream house. It's going to be perfect if I find the right doors and windows.
Step into our showroom. You're going to love these wood products by Sierra Pacific.
ViewTech Window and Door offers Sierra Pacific products for long-lasting structural integrity, energy efficiency, and the beauty of wood.
These are dream house worthy.
That's the ViewTech way, and it's been that way for 25 years. For Sierra Pacific products, visit ViewTech Window and Door, Church Street at Station, Belleville.
Northumberland 89.7 is proud to serve our community. We are winners of the Business Achievement Award in Communications and Technology. Northumberland 89.7, truly local radio.
And welcome back to the broadcast, and very pleased to be able to provide that special message from Jimmy Carter as he celebrates Canada's 150 as well. It's kind of nice to have him, a former farmer. He understands the struggles of life. That's why he became president and why he's devoted his life to helping others.
We had started just before you did that, David, and I thought it was really helpful to contextualize what we're talking about. But I think we're trying to explain to people, have them better understand how Habitat for Humanity works. So you were talking about some of the myths, but maybe you could talk a bit about how the process works and how these houses get built.
So for sure, the Habitat for Humanity is founded on the principle of the Fund for Humanity, and this is central to everything that Habitat does. Mm-hmm. And it's the idea that it's this revolving cycle, and it starts with a community coming together to build a home. And that's critical, right? This is not a developer. This is a community coming. Mm-hmm. Here in Northumberland County, we've built over 50 homes. It's not Habitat that's done it. It's Northumberland County. So the community builds a home, and we're able to do it because we have volunteer labor, we have donations, mm-hmm. we have contractors that come forward. All of that builds the home. Then what happens is a local family purchases that home. And a Habitat family is able to afford to own a home through the Habitat program as opposed to conventional home ownership mm-hmm. because of three key things. One is that there's no down payment. Mm-hmm. So when you're living, literally means like at the end of the month, there's nothing left. You're never going to save for a down payment. There's no down payment for a Habitat home. Secondly, Habitat homes are interest-free. So the mortgage that a family pays is interest-free. And the third thing is we gear the payments to the family's income. So the idea is affordable housing is defined as 30% of your gross income. Mm-hmm. Our mortgage payments are set at 25% because they don't include utilities and taxes, or sorry, utilities and insurance. So we set them at 25%. So a Habitat family then purchases that home, pays a mortgage. Mm-hmm. This is why I love Habitat. It's the final step. Every single payment that a family makes is reinvested into the fund to build the next home. So because the home is paid for when it's built, because we have volunteers and generous donors that fund the construction of homes, then when that family starts to make that first mortgage payment, when they come in, they're building equity for themselves. They're investing in their future. But they are also providing Habitat with the cash to be able to build more houses. So the idea is that this cycle just keeps going and going, and we're able to keep helping more and more families. And the empowerment that exists through that, because families not only get a chance to have a hand up, mm-hmm. but through their mortgage payments, they give the next family in the line that exact same hand up.
It's almost like pay forward.
Oh, it's exactly that. And it just, that part of the model is what gets me excited about Habitat every day.
Maybe I didn't hear it, but how are the families involved in the build?
Oh, sorry. I don't have my graphic in front of me, so I forgot the key part. If you see on our website, we have a graphic with this, mm-hmm. and right at the center in a house, we have our partner families, our mm-hmm. future homeowners. And in addition to paying a mortgage, they actually put in 500 hours of sweat equity into the construction of their home and into the Habitat program. So every single family that purchases a Habitat home puts in 500 hours of time. And that investment does so much. It empowers them. It teaches them construction skills. We have so many families that are like, once I move into the house, I can change my own light bulbs. I can do, you know, they feel mm-hmm. a little more empowered just by owning a home. And that helps with some of the home maintenance elements of home ownership as well.
Now, how many families do you work with at one time?
So we have served, we have partnered with 50 families in our home ownership program to mm-hmm. date, which is pretty impressive since 1998. Our board just passed a five-year strategic plan mm-hmm. that aims to serve another 50 in the next 5 years. And 25 of those would be through home ownership. And we actually have, I believe it's eight future homeowners working on their sweat equity hours right now. Five will purchase a home this year.
How do you have waiting lists for this kind of thing?
For the first time, we're actually starting to build a bit of a waiting list. Because with this strategic direction, with the fact that we know we want to build 25 homes in the next 5 years and help 25 families, we're actually starting to build a bit of a waiting list, because that 500 hours of sweat equity is a big commitment. We don't want that to be something that a family has to try and get done in 3 months because they just got accepted and there's a home, right? It's happened in the past, and families... It's not ideal, though. So we are starting to, we have a bunch of applications we're looking at. We have a very robust application program right now. So we are starting to build a waiting list, but it's not a big one right now. People assume it's a five-year list. Right now, we're looking for families for 2018.
What is the criteria? How does one become a Habitat family?
So they have to meet three key criteria. So in addition to being defined as low income, they also have to have a need for affordable housing. And that need can come in two different forms. Sometimes people assume that need is living in substandard housing. And we have a lot of rental units that have some challenges in this community or don't meet the needs of our families. We've had a lot of families where there's an accessibility need that isn't met through rental units. Mm-hmm. It's also, if they're paying more than 30% of their income on their rent, it's not affordable, right? So they have to have a need for affordable housing. They have to have an ability to pay back an interest-free mortgage. So there has to be some sort of long-term income to be able to pay that mortgage back. And they have to have a willingness to partner with Habitat for Humanity, a willingness to put in those 500 hours and become a partner in this program.
Those 500 volunteer hours or the sweat equity hours,
yeah.
you've defined it. It doesn't sound like it's all with a hammer in your hand.
And, no.
And so can you explain how that works and what does that include?
So we work with families of varying abilities as well as varying ages. And so if we had just restricted it to you have to build a house, we'd really be cutting out people that want to contribute to the construction of their home and the construction of their future. So 150 of the hours actually have to be done in our restore. our restore is so key to our ability to be able to run this program here in Northumberland County. So every family contributes to the restore through the 150 hours at least. They can also be at events. It's really great when our families participate when we're having fundraising events or in parades, mm-hmm. so they can get hours doing that. It is on the construction site. That is a key one. But also, kids want to give. Kids want to be able to. If there are kids in the family, they want to be able to put some hours into their home. So what we found is, even if they can help serve lunch or sign volunteers in or something like that, that contribution, that ownership that the children build in the home is critical. So we really try to do as much as possible to be able to get those hours in.
Wow. Now, you mentioned the restore. Could you explain a bit about what that is, just in case people don't know? Maybe they've driven by it on Division Street, but could you just explain quickly how that works?
And I have to tell you, it's so lovely to be able to say they've driven by it. For 10 years, we could never say you drove by the restore. But now that we're at our location on Division Street, our profile has really grown. And the restore is, it's our social enterprise. Mm-hmm. It is a store where you can donate new and gently used building materials, home furnishings, all that kind of stuff. We sell it, and every single dollar of that goes to support Habitat's programs in this community. And what that means is the money that's generated through the restore is helping to fund our program so that we can have a robust application program. We can have infrastructure, but we're not having to pull from our donations to get that.
And that's a huge plus because, of course, you know, the more money you have to put into your builds, the more homes we can build, the faster the homes can be built, the easier it is to pay for materials.
Yep.
One of the other great programs you have, and I know you were going to get to this, Rob, but that is the mm-hmm. Renew It program. And I am particularly happy to talk about the Renew It program because you and I talked about it the last time you were here. And when you and I talked about it last time, it was something that was just starting. It was a program that was started right here in Northumberland by Northumberland Habitat. And the Renew It program is a program that, if I understand correctly, is being rolled out across the Habitat world.
So it's a program from the U.S. Like, it started, but our affiliate brought it to Canada in 2006 under the leadership at that time and the vision at that time. And that was unheard of in Canada. And after that, it was called A Brush with Kindness. And at that time, everybody went, whoa, why aren't we doing this? So they created the Renew It program. But what's funny is a lot of habitats got kind of scared of it because it's different, right? There's mm-hmm. different risk, different liability. And so our board, a couple of years ago, we had a conversation about the need for home repairs in our community, and they said, let's pilot it, do it, mm-hmm. make it happen. And so we did. We piloted it. We had the support from Northumberland County and from Northumberland United Way, and Sunrise Rotary gave us money to pilot it, and it's been so successful. We've served 5 families. We just finished a 6th one, and we hope to do 4 more this year alone and do 5 every single year.
So we're not talking about new builds here Renew It program. What we're talking about is helping people do things like get a roof repaired or if they have some other aspect. Part of home ownership, of course, is being able to stay in your home and being able to afford to stay in your home. And the ability to have this access to Renew It through Habitat has, as you say, you've helped 5 families so far. But, I mean, this is a huge initiative.
It is, and I think you've hit it exactly. Sometimes we downplay that staying in a home is just as valuable. I mean, we talk about this too whenever at all the tables that I sit at when we're talking about advocacy and affordable housing. Keeping someone housed is way cheaper than having to deal with it once they've lost that housing. And so whether that's in rental housing, which mm-hmm. a lot of programs help to do, mm-hmm. we recognized that there was a gap when it came to in home ownership. And so that's where Renew It came, this idea that we used to get phone calls from people saying, I'm going to lose my house if this doesn't happen. And we used to have to say, sorry, lose your house, move into a rental unit you can't afford, and then Habitat can partner with you. We said, no, that's backwards. And so that's how this Renew It program came about. And it really does make such a difference when someone calls and says, my roof is leaking, I have no idea how I'm going to fix it. And we have a solution.
I was wondering if you had an anecdote that you might be able to share with us without revealing any private information about how this works or a call that you've gotten and how you've responded.
Yeah, so I have actually jokingly said we could run Renew It as a full-time roofing company, because I think the roof repair, if we're looking at all the repairs you face as a homeowner, mm-hmm. every single person will face a roof repair. Every roof has to be done, right? Mm-hmm. Eventually. And it's such a big expense. It's not cheap. Most roofs, you're starting at $5,000 without even blinking. Well, if you're owning your home, you're making your mortgage payments, paying your insurance, paying your taxes, but you are on a fixed income, or, mm-hmm. you know, your income is low, there's no money to put, you know, as much as you'd love to say, mm-hmm. okay, I'll put money away for a rainy day. There isn't. It's not mm-hmm. there. Mm-hmm. And so when that rainy day comes,
you got a leaky roof.
You got a leaky roof, exactly. And so we've been able to run it as a so roofs are one that we've seen, and it's such a great opportunity to help someone literally change how their house functions with one loan.
Now, again, it's interest-free, pay-as-you-can, geared to income. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's exactly the same model. So yep. We work with the family to do the repair. Yeah, it's an interest-free, it's geared to income. There's no down payment, or they don't have to put a deposit down on it. But then exactly like the home ownership program, every single repayment that we get, we reinvest into the fund to do more repairs.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And so the funding that United Way and Northumberland County have put in is really to build up that fund, but they've invested in it because they also know that it will self-generate, right? We are mm-hmm. getting repayments all the time to help be able to build that fund back up to help more people.
That's fascinating. Now, how do people find out about this stuff? Because obviously, I mean, these are really valuable programs, and you just have to look around the community to know that there must be a high demand for this kind of thing. I mean, we've got a lot of retirees on fixed income. We have people on social assistance, that different forms of it that need it. A lot of people struggle with precarious labor and are unable to get full-time, good-paying jobs. How's the public finding out about this so that they can take advantage of both of these programs?
So we've actually, we have a bunch of ways. We have a pretty active social media that we try to promote all this stuff on. We have a website. We are actually redoing our website right now too, so that it'll be even more user-friendly and more accessible. But we also really try to work with partnerships. So this year we relaunched the Renew It program because our board agreed that it's now a permanent Habitat program for our Habitat. So we relaunched it, and in doing that, we actually also partnered with Northumberland County because they were launching the Renovate program, which is a shorter term. It's a one-time fund right now, mm-hmm. but it's there to help people with home repairs as well, but bigger ones, mm-hmm. and it's forgivable loans. So we looked at the opportunity to partner together to promote these programs and work together mm-hmm. to meet the need best. Same with our home ownership program. We have found that some of the best ways that we've been able to connect with people that would benefit from owning a home is actually working with our partner agencies and doing referrals. And in the last 12 months, we've received so many referrals from other organizations where they've said, we've already spoken to this person, we think they'd qualify. They encourage that person to apply, and it helps get the word out there.
Can you maybe describe some of these networks that you're part of? Because it's interesting in our community how things fit together, and we often don't see behind the scenes how things fit. Give me some examples of how you're partnering and who you're partnering with and how it's beneficial.
Yeah, so as I said, we've got a really strong partnership with Northumberland County, but we also have been a very active member at the Affordable Housing table, the Northumberland Affordable Housing Committee table. And so I sit on that as a member. I also help chair one of the subgroups in that committee as well. So we're able to connect with, there's over 25 agencies that are at that table regularly that are talking about affordable housing needs. So we're able to talk to Greenwood Coalition and the Help Center, and we're able to make announcements like we need homes or even have a chance to dispel some of the myths that other agencies might have about the Habitat program. So I found that especially has been huge in helping us to be able to connect better and also make sure that we can provide people that maybe don't qualify for Habitat with some more support. So yes, maybe you don't qualify for Habitat, but because we know that this program exists at the Help Center, can we help get you in the door there? So we really try to do that as well.
Well, and there's all kinds of ways that people can volunteer as well. You can go to the Northumberland and check out their volunteer page, because right now they're looking for volunteers. They're looking for volunteers from July 13th For Carter build date, you can sign up at the website. Also, the Port Hope build in 2017, sign up is already underway. There's 10 slots left to fill there. The other, at all the Port Hope builds, actually, there's 10 slots at build 1, 2, 3,
yeah, there's,
4.
It's every day.
So every day they're looking for, well, 10 people to help out with the build, 10 people to help out with other things. Perhaps maybe you can... You're working with the caterers, and you're going to help people on the site get some good food into them. That's one of the other things that you guys have. I know I've spoken to a few people who volunteered. They're like, I one guy I talked to said, I do it for the food.
Well, and that's the other one, too, is people don't realize this, just to go back to the ReStore for a second. When you go into the ReStore, 90% of the time, the person that greets you and says, hi, welcome to the ReStore, is a volunteer. That is someone that's giving their time to help us run that place. That is incredible to me. So we have our ReStore. We have 100 volunteers that work in the ReStore, mm-hmm. doing so many different things. And without them, that ReStore wouldn't function. We just couldn't do it. So we do have staff, but the team of volunteers that make sure that store is as good as it is are incredible.
And people just call them, like, if they've got something to donate. If you've got a piece of furniture that you want to donate, obviously you're not looking for crap. But I mean, if somebody's got, obviously subjective, listeners. But I mean, if somebody has something they want to donate to somebody, like a coffee table or whatever, how does one do that? Do they just drive up to the ReStore and say, I've got a coffee table to donate, and someone takes it off the truck? Or?
They have two options. That's the lovely part. So especially in this new location, that donation, that drop-off, our donation center, I just got the numbers, we accepted 220 donations in June. In the donation center.
Wow.
Which is incredible. So we've got a full team that's there to help unload, tell you what we take, and if we don't take it, to provide you with support to find somewhere else that will, right? Because sometimes we just have too many couches, we cannot take anymore.
Right.
So you can do that. But also, if you don't have access to that, if you don't have the ability to drop it off, we do have a truck that's on the road 4 days a week that does pickups all across Northumberland County.
Really?
Yep. And and as you said, Dave, I do appreciate, we are looking for things we can resell, right?
Right.
Sometimes we do encounter that. If we have to throw it out, it costs us.
But
right?
Also, the only reason I bring that up is because I worked for Goodwill Industries in Toronto on the trucks. We were doing pickups for people who were making donations to Goodwill. Same premise, right? I mean, Goodwill would take the donation. They would clean it up. In the case of beds, they would reupholster them. Then there was a whole training facility available. People were learning refrigeration and woodworking, all of these things. But, you know, we did have our share of crap. And, you know, we as drivers... And helpers on the truck, we had that opportunity where we could say to people, sorry, we can't take that because, you know, we would just end up throwing it in the garbage.
Yeah.
But it's also fascinating, too, because I've been in the ReStore several times. I've donated and I've also picked some things up. And I'm fascinated by the fact that there are people who do do-it-yourself projects or construction at home or a repair or a reno. And it's a great way to either get rid of the old stuff, or also if you have things left over, you can donate them and they're not sitting in your basement taking up space, you know.
Exactly.
Doing nothing.
And upcycling or repurposing is huge right now too, right? So
mm-hmm.
So we've actually probably saw we partnered with United Way, and next Thursday night we're doing a fundraiser at the ReStore. It's a women's repurposing night. So we actually have one of our former staff members coming out to lead it, and people are going to be taking materials from the ReStore and turning them into pegboards. Like, it's really cool the stuff you can convert that you, mm-hmm. when you go in there. So yeah.
Mm-hmm. Great.
Well, on that note, we're going to take a quick break. A reminder that my guest in studio is Megan McDonald, the executive director of Habitat for Humanity Northumberland. Rob Washburn, of course, is always here with us on Wednesdays at 6 when we ask you, the listeners, to consider this.
Northumberland 89.7 presents 150 years of truly local history. Created and presented by local musician and resident Gail Crow, Northumberland 150 presents local stories from the past century and a half. Northumberland 150, heard Tuesdays at 8:40 a.m., Thursdays at 2:40 p.m., and Saturdays at 11:40 a.m. Each weekly episode will be available on podcast at northumberland897.ca. Celebrate Canada's 150th with us as we present Northumberland 150, proudly supported by Lou Rinaldi and Kim Rudd, on Northumberland 89.7, truly local radio.
This is Allison Houston from Port Hope Public Library, your destination for inspiration, imagination, and there's lots of free fun at the Mary J. Benson branch of your public library. the library launches the TD Summer Reading Club and rounds out the summer with a comic magic show by Peter Meany on August 24th at 11 a.m. Family activity days run Tuesday mornings at 11 a.m. featuring Canada's birthday, pet care, bird watching, and stargazing. Spend a quiet Wednesday afternoon enjoying a movie matinee each week at 1 p.m. with Lego Batman, Belle, and the Boss Baby up on the big screen. Everyone's invited to the library Thursday mornings at 11 a.m. for a family story time and craft. Each week, children can get crafty at the Garden Hill branch with new activities each Wednesday afternoon, and on July 26, fire engine exploration with the Port Hope Fire Department. Any student that needs some extra help with reading, French, or math can benefit from the summer tutoring program. For details about programs and other library information, visit www.phpl.ca, call 905-885-4712, and find the library on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Old Time Radio has a new home. Classic radio dramas, suspense, and comedies. Sunday evenings, 9 until midnight, here on Northumberland 89.7.
And welcome back to the broadcast, everybody. I'm Dave Glover. Joining me, as always, on Wednesdays is Rob Washburn, Professor of E-Journalism at Loyalist College. And with us today in the studio is the Executive Director of Northumberland Habitat for Humanity, Megan McDonald.
Thanks, Dave. I'm curious now, we've been talking and alluding to a number of times about affordable housing in Northumberland. I'm wondering if you could paint a picture from your perspective of the situation with affordable housing as it pertains to our area.
Yeah, for sure. As I said, we are quite active in the affordable housing community, and we try to be, even though we understand that in the housing spectrum, right? If you look at the spectrum from emergency from people that are actually experiencing homelessness, all the way through, habitat or affordable homeownership is a very small component.
Mm-hmm.
But we often see that it's kind of the final step out of sort of the critical section of the housing mm-hmm. spectrum. So we try to always know what's going on in the full affordable housing spectrum. And right now there's a lot of conversation about the fact that we currently have a vacancy rate of 0.3% in Northumberland County, which means that it is 100% a landlord's market, and it's really hard for anyone to find anywhere to rent, let alone mm-hmm. anywhere affordable.
How does that compare to other places, or what would be considered a normal vacancy rate when you talk about 0.3%?
A normal vacancy rate is 3%. A healthy vacancy rate is 3%. Right? Because that gives, it means you have enough units, you have an ability for landlords to rent to all varying degrees of people and varying degrees of affordability.
So what does it mean when you say it's a landlord's market? Is that what you called it?
The sense that with so few units, mm-hmm. Those that need affordable units, they're not there. They're just not there, right?
What's an average rent from your understanding of people that are paying?
I don't even know right now.
I think you'd be lucky right now to find a bachelor apartment in this area for less than $1,000, I'll tell you that.
And compared, can you imagine the mortgage you could carry with $1,000 a month?
Yeah.
You know,
thing, right? And I think what she means by landlord's market is, and this is, I think, the saddest part about being a landlord's market, is that they get to pick and choose who their tenants are. Now, again, from a landlord perspective, that could be a huge bonus for them because then they can only get the best tenants, the tenants that, are going to take care of their property for them or things like that. But what that does also is that leaves out of the pool single mothers in a lot of cases. Landlords don't want to rent to a single mom because she's got kids and they'll wreck the property, so I don't want to look at that person. So that person's taken off. Or maybe there's someone who's a little older and now you got to deal with elderly issues in a rental unit. At this point with a renter's market, you can pretty much pick and choose who your best target tenant is going to be.
So how do we address that then, or how do you think we need to address this kind of situation, please?
So that's a really good question. So I sit actually on the advocacy subgroup of the Affordable Housing Committee, and we're working on helping to provide some solutions, right? Because the biggest thing is, instead of just pointing out the problem, we always have to come up with solutions, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a multifaceted solution. Mm-hmm. So we've had an announcement recently of some new affordable housing that's being built. And that's one thing, is we need new units. And I mm-hmm. know that we're working on that, right? We've got new units being built, but we also need creative solutions to units. So one program I just want to highlight for a second that I just think is brilliant is the home share program that Cornerstone is mm-hmm. piloting this mm-hmm. year, mm-hmm. With the opportunity of looking at if there are single women who own a home that need support, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there are single women that need a place to live. If we're able to partner those two, there's companionship, there's support, and that's one less rental unit that's needed, right? So maybe one person doesn't need to take up a full unit. That's where a family can fit, right? So mm-hmm. so those creative solutions and looking at it as a whole spectrum, I think, is what everyone seems to be trying to do when we... Because we're all kind of talking. Every meeting you go to, you hear 0.3%, 0.3%. So we're trying to find those creative solutions that deal with it in a bunch of different ways. You need bricks and mortar, but you also need other things that meet different needs.
And I think it's important just to mention quickly, the units that you were talking about in your statement, those are the ones that are being proposed for, I believe it's Monroe Street, here in Coburg.
Yeah. And those are primarily for seniors, too, that I want to point out.
Yeah.
And which we just did an age-friendly study, and people, like, there's a huge need among our senior population, mm-hmm. right, for mm-hmm. for affordable housing, accessible housing, all that.
How do we entice developers to create units? Because I mean, this has been a problem forever. Is you want to leave the market alone, the government doesn't put a lot of money into building social housing units, and so it's left to these either private developers or heavily subsidized developments, public-private partnerships, those kinds of things, to build social housing. How do we stimulate that in a rural community like Coburg?
So I think some of the programs that are coming out, and I'm not an expert, mm-hmm. but some of the programs that are coming out now with inclusionary zoning and secondary suite development, like I think you're starting to see, as the province is announcing new creative solutions. So instead of, as I said, just building mm-hmm. a new apartment building, mm-hmm. right? Because who's going to keep that up? Who's going to own
that's
it?
Right.
Who's
yep.
going to, you know? And that's the problem that they came up with all the social housing that was built in the 70s, right? Now they have the end of operating agreements. Like, what happens, right, as mm-hmm. as those social housing units end? Mm-hmm. So I think what we're looking at now is, instead of creating more social housing, it's how do we create housing, right, mm-hmm. that we can then deem affordable in other ways? And I think, as I said, secondary suite development, I think, is such a great one. It's such an opportunity to help someone that maybe owns a home and is struggling to create an income property, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But also then create a rental unit, right? So secondary suites, but also inclusionary zoning, really looking at, as we build more developments, there has to be an affordability component in there.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to say, I know that our municipalities have been looking at this for a long time, not just since the province has brought it in. Mm-hmm. And I think this will really help to be able to do that, because I think they know that there's a need for that component in mm-hmm. affordable housing developments.
Well, one of the problems with affordable housing, though, especially if it's built specifically as affordable housing, and this is something Ben Bird and I have discussed, is the fact that, all right, so you've built an affordable unit and someone is living in there, or you've built a Habitat house and the family's living in there, and they decide they want to sell the house or whatever. How does it stay as an affordable residence? How do we guarantee that that house isn't just going to go for the great market value and that person's going to pocket the profit and then walk away? I mean, for every affordable housing unit that gets built and sold off, odds are you're going to lose two, right?
Yeah, so, and I know this is something that the province, whenever they're looking at funding, and mm-hmm. the county as well, whenever they're looking at funding something, that's something they want to guarantee.
Yeah.
So, for example, the Renovate program that I told you,
mm-hmm.
It's a forgivable loan, but if someone moves before 10 years, they have to pay a portion back, right? Because it's that idea that we want to guarantee that this is kept for a while. I think about this a lot with Habitat, right? Because people always say, well, you're not really in the rental industry, and mm-hmm. that's true. But we're creating affordable units, and we're moving people out of rental housing.
Exactly.
Opening up units. So we are part of that system. We are trying to get people out. So we are trying to ease some of the stress on that vacancy. But when we build our units, you know, sometimes we don't buy them back. Sometimes they get sold out on the open market. But I also know that Habitat units are going for lower than anything else, right? Because they are still simple, decent housing, right? So yes, someone might be able to make a profit and there will be some sort of increase in the market value,
mm-hmm.
but it's always only to a certain point, because we do really focus on building housing that is simple and decent.
Right.
So sometimes I even look at it that even if we don't buy a Habitat house back, we're putting a house on the market that's probably lower, and maybe a family that's makes too much for Habitat might be able to get a conventional mortgage and buy that home. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
And they're getting a newer home. Yep. As opposed to buying something that's...
So you're building, what we're describing, if I can use these terms, is basic housing.
Yes.
Where there's no bells and whistles, you know, you're not going to get all the, you know, it's not going to be marble counters and stuff like that.
We put our money in the stuff that can't be changed.
Exactly.
And we put our money in the stuff that will make sure that house can be affordable to operate.
That is a good word. We'll break on that one. We'll be right back with more of our conversation with Megan McDonald, Executive Director of Habitat for Humanity. It's Wednesday, listeners. We're asking you to consider this.
Remember the drive-ins, the malt shops, cruising the strip, and the great music of the 1950s and early 60s? Tune in to Northumberland 89.7 from 7 to 9 for the Doo-Wop Chop Shop and relive those fabulous memories with your hosts, Jody Losey and Jim Glover.
You can listen live worldwide on Northumberland897.ca. Check out our Facebook page at Facebook.com/Doo-Wop Chop Shop, Northumberland 89.7, truly local radio.
The 2017 Toyota Factory Event is finally here. Right now at Vandermeer Toyota, lease or finance any 2017 Corolla or RAV4 front-wheel drive LE for 0%. Plus, you can get $1,000 bonus cash and thousands of Aeroplan miles. It's all happening right now, so come on down to Vandermeer Toyota, 959 Division Street, Coburg. Call 905-372-5437 or visit VandermeerToyota.com for details.
If you're a local business owner and looking to get the word out, ask about advertising with us. We're happy to talk to you about how we can help grow your business. Just call 905-372-2391. We're Northumberland 89.7, truly local radio.
And welcome back to The Drive Time, everybody. This is Canada's only holistic political chat. Joining me in the studio, Rob Washburn, professor of e-journalism at Loyalist College and my community producer for our Wednesday broadcast. When we ask you to consider this today, we are speaking with the Executive Director for Habitat for Humanity Northumberland, Megan McDonald.
Megan, I'm curious about how would you characterize the political will to address affordable housing in Northumberland? When you go in and you listen to politicians talk, and not bureaucrats, and not activists like yourselves or people who represent organizations that do this kind of work, how would you characterize politicians in terms of their attitudes towards affordable housing or their positions on affordable housing?
I would say that right now we have politicians that are listening to us and are really quite aware and concerned. That's been my experience. I have not walked into a council, a local council, where they don't already know that there's a 0.3 vacancy rate, or that they don't already know about Habitat. And most of the time it's not what can we do, it's what do you need? That tends to be the response that we get as Habitat. Mm-hmm. It's the same that we've been experiencing from a provincial and federal level as well. Habitat, I know, is an organization though too that is able to be appealing to so much because of what we do. But right now, I'd say the political will is there because people, they all know it's a 0.3 vacancy rate. Like, there are people that don't have a place to live. And I think, sorry, just one more thing. The 20,000 homes campaign that was done last November that was spearheaded by the county, I think that also really helped to really provide some key demographics and some key information that people never had. We talked about people couch surfing, but in a rural community, homelessness is invisible. Mm-hmm. And so it's hard to understand that it's there. But once the numbers are there and once you have that infograph that tells you how many people, you can't forget.
Okay. I also understand that there's an event tomorrow. Maybe you want to talk a bit about that event.
Yeah, so we started today talking about the Carter Work Project. So tomorrow we're actually doing our Carter Work Project build day. I saw the forecast, and it better not rain. That's my only request. Can you work on that for me, Dave? but we are going to have volunteers working alongside the future homeowners of the four houses in Port Hope. We're going to be building all day.
What time are we starting then?
We're starting at 9 a.m. We're going to be building all day over on Harcourt and Hope.
Looks like we're going to have a few showers and that'll end around noon with a mix of sun and cloud for the balance of the day. So before noon, I can't guarantee anything, but Environment Canada is saying afternoon tomorrow should be pretty clear.
Lovely.
Right now, though, we are experiencing some serious weather in Cobourg. So, Megan, I want to thank you for being here. Always a pleasure to talk with you.
Thank you, guys.
Always great to hear about the great stuff that Habitat's doing. And remind the listeners out there, you can check out Habitat for Humanity's Restore, which is located at 764 Division Street. Or maybe you want to give them a call at 289-252-0999. They're open Monday to Saturday from 9:30 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. Please go to the Habitat Northumberland website and volunteer. Give a little time to help build a safe, secure home and a safe, secure community for all of us and your neighbors. I'm Dave Glover. You've been listening to The Drive Time. Thanks to Rob Washburn. Here's Elton John. This song goes out to Levon, Megan's little boy.
Levon wears his war wound like a crown. It calls his child Jesus, 'cause he lights the main, and he sends him to the finest school in town. Levon, Levon likes his money. He makes a lot, they say. Spends his days counting in a garage by the motorway. He was born a pauper to a pawn on a Christmas day, when the New York Times said God is dead and the war's begun. Oh, how fantastic a hell the sun today. And he shall be Levon, and he shall be a good man, and he shall be